Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
So last year, Ohio State conducted a study. And I bet any of us wish we could have been a part of it. They gathered 58 adults for a taste test of chocolate chip cookies.
Sign me up for that one. I'll do that one.
Of course, they didn't come in any packaging because that would kind of ruin the whole point of the taste test. But each cookie did come with a short description. One cookie's description said new and improved. The second one said factory typical. And the last one said consumer complaint. Well, as you might expect, the one labeled consumer complaint got the worst reviews, and the ones labeled new and improved got the best reviews. But, as it turns out, this wasn't really a cookie taste test at all. It was about labels and perceived biases, because all three cookies were exactly the same. The study was really to find out if the labels affected how people actually tasted the cookies, which they did. Christopher Simons, a food scientist from OSU, said, "We had both negative and positive bias, but the negative bias was much bigger. On the one hand, it's not surprising. On the other hand, the degree of the impact was really surprising." One article about the study said this: "When given a displeasing description, it seems our love for cookies can easily crumble away. Our brains immediately start looking for the negatives, a classic human bias that has been observed with other foods, like cheese and vegetables. What's interesting about this new study, however, is that it shows that even highly likable foods, like chocolate chip cookies, can leave a bad taste in our mouths when accompanied by certain words." Now, even though you weren't involved in this study, I bet you already know this experience. Like, have you ever had somebody, probably a kid, come up to you with a piece of food and say, "This is gross, eat it." Yeah, if I'm told something's gross, I'm not going to eat it. Or imagine if you've ever eaten something that tasted really good, but then when you find out what it is, you spit it out. Like, apparently, in Indianapolis, at the Hilltop Inn, you can enjoy their famous sandwiches that are batter dipped and deep fried. And apparently a lot of people like them. But the sandwich is not chicken. It's pig brain. Yeah, right? Even if it tastes delicious, I am not going to eat a pig brain sandwich, thank you very much. The label given to food changes our response to it. And if it works that way with food, then it really works that way with people. Think of it this way. You see people every day. Some of them you know really well. Your family members, your friends. Other people, you just know their name and that's it. But some people, all you know about them is what you see of them. Your first impression of it. All you see is the label in front of the cookie. New and improved. Factory typical. Consumer complaint. And you've already got your mind made up before you even try. According to Forbes magazine, it takes only 7 seconds to form a first impression of someone. which is basically long enough to see what they look like, see their posture, and how they respond to their surroundings. You see them in this one particular moment in their life, and you think you've figured out their entire life story. Right? We all do this. But honestly, we don't know them at all. Like, he's the bored high school kid who's working at the drive-thru window and who messed up your order. She's the mom at the grocery store who's trying to find everything on her list while two kids in the cart and two kids standing next to her keep calling for her attention. He's the man sitting at the bus stop who looks like he hasn't shaved for days and whose clothes are in tatters. She's the woman who wears the sharp outfit and walks up nice and tall as she enters the luxury office building. You see these people for just a few seconds, and you think you know all about them. Or consider this guy. He's a man who is naked and who lived in the tombs. Just that much should tell you to stay away from this guy, right? Even if nobody talked to this guy, plenty of rumors swirled around. Some people said he was possessed by demons. Some people said he had serious mental health problems. Some people said he was a monster, right? Nobody knew for sure. But regardless, this man clearly had the consumer complaint label on him. And yet on one particular day, he saw a boat cross the Sea of Galilee and land on his side of the water. And somehow he knew who was in the boat. Because just like how people had heard about him, this guy had also heard about Jesus. And since everybody else ridiculed him and abused him and tormented him, he kind of thought Jesus would do the same. When Jesus saw him, though, he asked the man his name. And he said, Legion. Now, legion was also the term for a group of Roman soldiers. So, just like how the land had been occupied by the Romans, so this man had been occupied by these evil spirits. But nobody really cared. Nobody wanted to know this guy's life story or how he ended up this way. Nobody wanted to know if he had a family or hobbies. All they knew were the labels, the judgments, the stereotypes, the names, and that's all they cared to know. And eventually, that's how this man came to define himself, too. And maybe you know what that's like, too. Right? Just as we often make quick judgments about others, so too do they make quick judgments about you. They see how old you are, what you look like, what you're doing, and within just 7 seconds, they think they figured you out. And sometimes that's all they want to know about you. They've decided that you're too old, too young, too annoying, too opinionated, too shy, too weird, whatever. Right? You know those labels. You know what people say about you. And so when Jesus asks you who you are, this is how you answer. Because that's how you've come to know yourself. All of those outside voices have become the voice in your head. And maybe that voice in your head actually sounds like the voice of someone else in your life. It's that voice that tells you you're not good enough. You'll never measure up. That you should be more like this other person. It says that you're a fool, or a fraud, or a failure. It tells you that nobody really likes you. They just put up with you. That you're really not that important. Right? You know that voice. We all have it. I know I do. And so often we let that voice define us. We believe what it says. And so when Jesus heard this man define himself as legion, Jesus could hear all of the voices that this man heard. All of those things that people said about him, all of those rumors, all of those made-up stories that dehumanized him, Jesus heard what they were saying. Jesus knew all of those voices that were inside this man and how they defined him. And so, Jesus commanded the legion to leave the man and go into the nearby herd of pigs. When the evil spirits did that, the pigs ran off a cliff and drowned in the sea. Jesus cast the demons out of this man. Now, most of the time when we think of exorcisms, we think of stuff from scary movies. We think of a girl whose head spins all the way around. Or we think of somebody convulsing on a bed while some priest holds a crucifix as if it were a weapon. No, that's not what exorcisms are at all. An exorcism is simply when the love of Jesus dispels anything that is possessing a person. I'll say that again. An exorcism is simply when the love of Jesus dispels anything that is possessing a person. In this case, Jesus cast out the legion from this man. He cast out those voices, those rumors, those whispers. And then the man simply sat at Jesus' feet. Someone gave this guy clothes, and then he sat there, like a student listening to the words of the master. This man realized that Jesus defined him, not the legion. And when he begged Jesus that he might go with him, it made sense. Right? Jesus was the only one who really cared for this guy. But Jesus said that he would do more good by telling others what God had done for him. And so he does. He went throughout the city telling people about how Jesus had worked in his life. And maybe because he did that, then people gave him new labels. Terms like Jesus freak. But this man didn't care. Those labels didn't define him anymore. The rumors didn't tell the whole story. The whispers didn't even come close to describing him. Even though everybody else in town was more concerned about losing a herd of pigs than celebrating that he was healed, this man didn't care. Because he knew who he was. He was someone who was loved and healed and sent out by Jesus. Just like everyone else you see. Whether it's the teenager at the drive-thru window, the woman at the grocery store, the man at the bus stop, the woman in the business suit, or anyone else, they are all beloved children of God. And so are you. No matter what others may say about you, no matter what labels they put on you, no matter what voices you hear in your head, Jesus knows that you are still wonderful and priceless and beloved in his eyes. He knows that he can still use you to tell others about him. When Jesus looks at you, he does not see consumer complaint, but rather new and improved. That's who you really are. Those demons don't define you. Jesus does. Now go and tell the world what Jesus has done for you. In the name of this one who defines you, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.